Career Transitioning 101, Book 1, First Steps. Written by Dr. Robert Daniel. Narrated by Kat Lookabaugh. Dedicated to my wife Linda, my mother Anne, and my entire family for their support while I was writing this book. Introduction. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. Lao Tzu. According to a January 2018 report from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, the average person changes jobs 10 to 15 times, with an average of 12 job changes during their career. Many workers spend 5 years or less in every job, so they devote more time and energy transitioning from one job to another. For those currently experiencing the COVID-19 pandemic and its economic impact on employment opportunities, it is quite possible that those numbers could occur more quickly or be even higher. However, even under the best economic conditions, rapid changes in technology and employer and consumer needs will also impact the current and future workforce. As someone who has undergone multiple career transitions over the years, Tzu's preceding statement could never be truer when thinking about starting one, whether it be for a new job or advancement in an existing one. Like building something from scratch and wanting to build it right, you should always start with a strong foundation. And in any career transition, that foundation really begins with you. This step is one of the most important you will need to remember before moving forward. Without it, you might risk missing out on better opportunities, or worse yet, settling for those that put you in the perpetual cycle of having to repeat your efforts and start all over. To help put you on the right path, this book will cover practical and successful strategies that should be taken in the very early stages of the career transitioning process. I will share easy-to-use tactics and tools that will help you gain a deeper understanding of your strengths, gaps, opportunities, and challenges, and how you can use such things to launch a successful career transition. I will also provide you with helpful tips and best practices to help the knowledge soak in. By taking a common sense approach developed with knowledge, experience, and research, think of this book as a pre-planning tool before you start writing a resume or conducting a job search. Dr. Robert Daniel. It begins with you. Like all things that matter in life, considering a career transition really needs to start with an individual taking the necessary steps, time, and effort to help put them in the best possible position to achieve their desired goals. Here are two successful approaches that I have shared with others and have used myself. Approach 1, finding or having a support system. Sometimes you'll be the root of the problem and you won't see it. How do you avoid these blind spots? Pay close attention to how others perceive you, ask for feedback, and most importantly, be open to receiving it. The best kind of feedback is negative feedback, because it is difficult to learn from glowing praise. Accept criticism graciously so those around you won't be afraid to continue sharing their observations with you. Simon Sinek, 2017. It goes without saying that moving toward most transitions in your life will require some types of activities that are going to necessitate both changes and effort on your behalf to achieve the goals you set in place. One of the best ways to gain a deeper understanding of who you are and what you bring to the table is to make sure that you're surrounding yourself with people who not only believe in you, but will also tell you when you have something stuck between your teeth. This person is not the one who tells you what you want to hear or avoids what they think you should know. It is also not someone who is always going to be hypercritical. You should try to avoid those people that always tell you that you cannot do anything well. Because as much as negativity can motivate some, it does have a far more damaging effect to most of us over time. The person I am referring to is someone who can help you understand all the great things that you can do. More importantly, this person is someone willing and able to let you know what else you need to do today to become even better tomorrow. Throughout my career, I have found that having such people in my life has not only helped me achieve professional success, it has allowed me to grow personally as well. Approach 2: Renting versus Owning. Before I explore this concept with you, I would be remiss if I did not point out that, like anything worth getting, you're going to have to put in the time and effort to achieve what you want. The same is true with any career transition, and it's why I feel it is important to understand the concept of renting versus owning. To help explain it, I use an analogy about renting a car. But you could easily replace the vehicle with anything you or someone you know has rented before. That said, for anyone who has ever rented a car or knows someone who has, please answer the following questions. 1. Did you or they ever wash the rental car? 2. Did you change the oil in your rental car? 3. If you have any of those tchotchkes that you can hang from the rearview mirror, did you hang one in your rental car? If you answered yes to even one of these questions, if more than one, we need to talk. My point here is that when you rent something, chances are very good that you would not put in the same time and effort as if you owned it. Ownership changes that paradigm, upping the level of commitment needed to achieve your goals. That is why it is important to remember, if you decide to go down the career transitioning path, you need to make sure that you are willing and able to put in the time and effort to achieve the goals you set. You must also accept the realization that your goals are not going to happen overnight. And by owning your plan, you are committing to do whatever is necessary to be successful. In our very first class, I used to tell my students that I was not renting them space in the classroom. They needed to own their education, and I was there to help them learn how to do that. If you understand this concept and find or have that support system in your life I previously mentioned, you can and will find success in most anything you set out to do. Personal SWOT analysis. For those of you not familiar, in a standard business SWOT analysis, you would identify and report on an organization's strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And from a design perspective, a personal SWOT analysis would not be that much different. However, although one is very similar to the other, the personal SWOT analysis is all about you, and you break it into 4 key sections. 1. Strengths. 2. Areas for improvement. I prefer this terminology rather than weaknesses. 3. Opportunities. 4. Challenges. You can also consider this section as threats if applicable. Even though it technically may not spell out SWOT, the concept is the same. The goal here is to create a visual representation of those things you do well, areas or gaps you need to improve, any opportunities available to you, and challenges you need to overcome to achieve your goals. To help you get started, here are 3 questions that I find useful when beginning your personal SWOT analysis. 1. What is working? 2. Where are you stuck? 3. What would you do differently? Tip: you can find many different types of templates to create your own personal SWOT analysis if you would like to create one in a digital format. I personally like to write each one of the sections on the top of a piece of paper and then complete my list in pencil. I find this method not only helps me identify and list all of the possible responses I want, it also helps me feel more deeply connected with what I write down. Template example. Create a 2x2 grid with plenty of space for writing notes. Label the top 2 squares strengths and areas for improvement. Label the bottom 2 squares opportunities and challenges. Strengths. Your strengths should be things that set you apart. In other words, what do you do better than anyone else? Now is not the time to be shy or worried about how things will appear. It is the time to start listing all those things that make you special. If you started this process by looking at your current or previous job responsibilities, avoid listing the duties or tasks. Instead, focus on your key accomplishments and those things where you have received recognition. For example, if you work in technology and provide excellent customer service that helps contribute to your organization's bottom line, that would be considered a strength. The same can also apply if you have been out of the workforce or do volunteer work. One way to think about it is that you do not have to get paid to have strengths. Many successful people have strengths that are not being used in their current roles or are being used in other non-work-related activities. Additionally, strengths do not only have to be tangible, like skills, education, or certifications. You can list things like loyalty, trustworthiness, or honesty. Another way to help you identify your strengths is to find out what others see as your strengths. It has been my experience that many people have not been told how special or how valuable they are, so they never truly know what their strengths might be. That is why it is so important to surround yourself with people who understand what you bring to the table and why it is important that you continue to have them in your life. While it could be uncomfortable and somewhat awkward to ask someone about your strengths and what makes you special, I have done it on many occasions, and I have found that most people, especially those invested in your success, will have no problem sharing what they have seen and learned from you. Finally, looking at your past accomplishments, especially the ones that you are proudest of, can provide valuable insights about those strengths, abilities, characteristics, and skills you needed to achieve them. Many high performers commonly miss such strengths, generally viewing them as things that come easily to them or nothing special. You should add humility to your list of strengths if you feel the same. Tips: the strengths section can be one of the larger ones in your personal SWOT analysis. Don't be afraid to list as many strengths as you or your support system uncover. Just remember to list those things that make you stand out. Areas for improvement. Looking at your areas for improvement can produce unwanted negative feelings of inadequacies or feeling something is wrong with you. It is one of the many reasons I elected not to call this the weaknesses section. That word and its definition always seem to put a heavy and unhealthy emotional burden on those impacted by it. However, you should consider some positives should you choose to move forward. One is that this search can also start to reveal any blind spots that might be preventing you from being your very best. I believe looking at it truthfully is one of the most important steps in any self-discovery or self-improvement process. Having the right mindset is a key part to getting the most out of this SWOT section. It requires a willingness to find and accept some things you could do better or need to learn to do. It also involves balance in terms of being too critical of yourself or, in some instances, not enough. And it is where having a trusted support system in your life can really help you find the balance you need to put together a comprehensive and complete list of your areas for improvement. You can begin this process by asking yourself and others a few questions like these. What can I do better? Do I have any work habits and traits that prevent me from being my very best? Should I consider or do I need any more training or education? What would other people see as my areas for improvement? I realize some of these questions may seem a bit open-ended, so I recommend finding the balance between a broad and narrow focus. Going too broad opens you up to having a long list of things to work on and perhaps not having enough time to get to all of them. It could also lead to being so critical that you undervalue those areas that need the most or immediate attention. On the flip side, having too narrow a focus could lead to a lack of depth for those areas you identify, or it produces a list lacking in scope and need. A fairly simple way to help you find this balance is to try asking yourself what tasks, jobs, situations, or activities you usually avoid doing because you do not feel confident or like doing them. While this step may seem to focus only on those four things, it could also indicate that you might struggle a little bit with procrastination, or you are only interested in doing the things that interest you. Tips: use this opportunity to list those key areas you need to improve to achieve your professional or personal goals. Do not use this step to list every and all imperfections you feel you may have. It is important to note that the human brain cannot comprehend the negative. So rather than think about the things you cannot do, think about things that you want to do and what you need to do them. Although we could rely on our employer, friends, or significant others to share with us what they may see as positives or negatives, it is equally important to ask them, think ownership, when you need to know the answers. An area for improvement for me is to let others finish their sentences and to become a much better listener. Although I do struggle with this one at times, I am constantly reminded, by myself and others, that this area is one that I need to continue to work on. Opportunities. One could describe opportunities as a set of different circumstances at a given time that makes it possible to do something. A very high majority of them are external, with some more easily seen than others. Although all four sections of a personal SWOT analysis are important, I have found that recognizing and taking advantage of your opportunities is one of the best ways you can make the most significant and positive changes happen in your life. Think of them as a roadmap without any guarantee that you will get to your stated destination or even enjoy the ride along the way. Miss out on one or more of them, and you may find yourself living in a world of what-ifs and regret. When you add up all the variables that surround opportunities, it should come as no surprise that listing yours might take longer or be more difficult than the other sections of your SWOT. When working with others, one of the questions I ask those who are struggling to come up with opportunities is whether they have access to their own personal network of strategic contacts. Such a network can be composed of family, friends, acquaintances, and so on, who are connected to organizations that may be able to help you in your career transition process. Historically, labor statistics have shown that nearly 70% of all job openings never make it to the public via job postings or job sites. Internal sources generally hold and know about them, like hiring managers, HR departments, or almost anyone in other areas of the organization. In many instances, we could be surrounded by those that have information about opportunities and never know about them. So it is always a good idea to establish, manage, and get to know your own personal network of strategic contacts. As someone who has completed 3 degrees while working full-time, one area of opportunity or missed opportunity might be if you do not know or have not checked whether your organization offers you additional training or educational benefits. These benefits are a bigger deal than most think, providing opportunities for someone to get the training or education they need to be successful, at little or no cost to them. Many organizations offer very comprehensive educational and training benefits, but statistically, not all employees are aware of or take advantage of them. Do you have any college credits that have not been applied to a degree? How about any prior learning, formal training, or military or government experience? If the answer is yes, then you might want to talk with college or university program administrators about applying college course credits to a degree program you are seeking. Many institutions provide this service without any charge. And if college credit is granted, it can reduce the time you're in school and the associated costs. Another thing to consider when seeking out potential opportunities is to explore whether a need in your market, industry, or organization is not being filled. Think about the current or future trends you are seeing or reading about and how you can have a role in them. You do not have to work in a specific position, field, or even organization to identify an opportunity that could be a potential new career path for you. Many careers and opportunities today did not exist 5 to 10 years ago, For example, driverless car mechanic, big data scientist, and so on. And in a post-COVID world, many things that you might not have considered in the past could be options in the future. Tips. One of the major mistakes for those beginning or in the process of a career transition is not to take a holistic look at all potential opportunities, even if they do not seem applicable. Look at going one layer deeper and not just relying on what you may see on the surface. You should always strive to look for opportunities within opportunities. For example, one may look at an interview as just to get a job or promotion. But if you look at the interview as an opportunity to showcase your skills and abilities for today and for the future, your chances for achieving success will greatly increase. Challenges. To start on the right foot in this last segment of your personal SWOT analysis, it is important to remember that you should not view your challenges as your areas for improvement. They are those things in or outside your control that stand in your way of achieving success. Begin by asking yourself, how well do people or companies understand or know what I bring to the table if I have never worked in their organization or industry? You may believe your skills or experiences align well with their needs, but how can you be sure they would feel the same way? I have seen similar challenges while working with veterans and older adults trying to transition into different industries or careers. Many people have more skills and experiences than potential employers can identify or see as having added value, causing both parties harm. At any stage of life, career transitioners can mitigate this challenge by identifying their key transferable skills in advance, then presenting them in a way an employer can better understand and see the value. Easier said than done, but it is an example of what a potential challenge might look like. Is changing or future technology threatening your current role? Many retail industry analysts are predicting some traditional retail services, support functions, and jobs will be replaced with automation. Other industries are also exploring similar options. The question you need to ask yourself is, how can I position myself today to be better equipped to deal with these potential changes in the future? One of the toughest challenges is when any of your personal traits or characteristics have been holding you back and you may not even know about it. Many managers and employers avoid addressing such issues if they do not directly impact the business or the quality of work an employee is delivering. This area can also be very sensitive, one many avoid for fear of causing more harm than good. Unfortunately, the latter is more the exception than the rule. As a result, many highly qualified people are shut out of potential opportunities. As I mentioned earlier, your support system of people who know all the great things that you can do and, more importantly, are willing to tell you what you need to do to be even better becomes important here. They would be best equipped to tell you whether there is something that you are doing that could be deemed as annoying or off-putting to employers and colleagues. I want to be clear that I'm not asking anyone to change or hide who they are, nor am I telling anyone how to express themselves. All I am suggesting is that if you are having some difficulty transitioning to a new career or growing in your current one, you may want to take a closer look at how others view and perceive you. This step is not the easiest thing to overcome, and that is why you really want to make sure you get a good feel from those people very close to you. It also really helps if you can get an honest assessment from a manager or peer that will be thoughtful. Yet your source needs to be candid enough to explain and share with you things that might be preventing you from achieving your career or personal goals. As a manager, I have come across many employees that have worked with different managers who did not really take the time to help develop them. One example that comes to mind is a person who is extremely talented and gifted, yet they had a very unusual high-pitched giggle, one that unfairly seemed to undermine his credibility and advancement. When I sat down and spoke with this individual, he had no idea it could be an issue. At first, he was very defensive that I even brought it up. However, he came to realize that I was not there to criticize or judge. I was there to help him achieve his career goals. He eventually made the choice to make some small changes to help him manage his giggle, and it ended up accelerating his career advancement path. I will add that I also have worked with people who elected not to make any changes, and they too experienced success. The key in both situations was that they were aware of the potential challenges, and they had and made choices on how best to deal with them. Tips: taking advantage of available self-assessments to help you gain a deeper understanding of yourself can help alleviate any personal or professional obstacles you might suspect or simply not know about. You can find many free assessments online, and you can purchase some, like StrengthsFinder, for under $15. You should also check if your employer, college, or university offers these tools at little or no cost to you. Next steps. Here are the key steps that I would recommend for anyone before they consider a career transition. 1. Find your support person or system. As previously mentioned, surround yourself with people who not only believe in you, but will also tell you when you have something stuck between your teeth. These are not the people who tell you what you want to hear or avoid telling you what they think you should know. They are the people who have a vested interest in your success. 2. Complete a personal SWOT analysis. Using the steps outlined in the previous chapter, this very simple tool can help shape and guide your professional journey. Another step to consider is to look at other self-assessment tools that you can use to gain a deeper understanding of yourself. The key is to get the most well-rounded picture so that you can not only build on your strengths, but also fill in any gaps needed to take advantage of opportunities and mitigate any potential challenges. 3. Create a plan and own it. Many find it very beneficial to create a plan that shows how you will utilize your strengths, seize your opportunities, address areas for improvement, and manage any challenges. This plan needs to be actionable. Use SMART goals with the necessary milestones and critical events you need to achieve success. It also needs to support why you need to own it and the level of commitment you need to do so. 4. Don't be afraid to ask for help. While conducting research for my doctoral dissertation, one thing that came up repeatedly was that successful people were not afraid to ask others for help. In addition, not only were they not afraid to ask for help, they figured out ways to find it, again, supporting the importance of having a network of strategic contacts. 5. Wash, rinse, repeat. It's an iterative process of continuous improvement. I cannot stress enough how important it is to remember it is not just a one-and-done exercise. You should continue to review and take these steps throughout your professional career. It will help track and showcase your growth and progression over the years. Don't be afraid to revisit and use these tools, even when things are going well. You will find it will either validate what you are currently doing or demonstrate you need to make additional changes. About the author. Dr. Robert Daniel is considered an expert in the areas of organizational behavior, leadership development, and career transitioning. Daniel has held strategic roles in the media, technology, government and military, and higher education sectors, and he possesses the ability to bring together seemingly unrelated concepts and ideas to create new possibilities that result in successful outcomes. Much of Dr. Daniel's work has focused on professional and career development, leading large successful change initiatives, and improving individual and team performance. He holds a doctorate in higher education and organization change, an MS degree in information systems management, and a BA in leadership, all completed as an adult learner with a family and demanding full-time positions. Dr. Danielle has also served as an IEEE student branch chair and on the ABET accreditation process team for his university. If you would like to connect or learn more about him, visit www.linkedin.com/in/Bob Danielle. This has been Career Transitioning 101, Book 1, First Steps, written by Dr. Robert Danielle, narrated by Kat Lukabaugh. Copyright 2021 by IEEE USA and by Dr. Robert Danielle. All rights reserved.